Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at @TeresaGreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Manny. Oh, I like what you've got on today.
This is a safety corner one. Yeah. My little baseball cap.
And your hat.
I'll always choose a curved baseball cap instead of that stupid trucker's cap that everybody gives me. Not being ungrateful for all the gifts that people have given me, but I don't understand why the entire construction industry is all about trucker's caps. Do you know the straight ones?
Uh-huh.
The ones that look like they need to be...
Oh.
You're talking to a guy that has taken... belt sanders and sanders to clothing to age them faster because I want to get them aged. I want aged clothing. I know I necessarily don't want vintage clothing or anything like that. I want aged, worn in clothing, right? So I don't like trucker's cap because they look just straight. And plus, they leave the sticker on. You know that manufacturing sticker on?
Uh-huh. I'm like, right.
Maybe I don't get it, right?
But it's nice. And you sell garb on your website,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, I got all kinds of stuff. People uh-huh. want stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that's great.
Swag.
Yeah. There
merch.
You go.
So, merch is out. Yeah. All the cool kids called it now. Uh-huh. Merch.
Yeah.
It's all merch, right?
So reach out to Manny if you're looking
we
for some.
We should get some Building Joy
yeah.
merch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. I have some happiness slow. It's been on the like back burner to do.
Get some done. Start promoting it.
Okay,
people don't understand. That'd be nice to see on a job site.
I'll have to ask you who you're using.
Oh, yeah, he's actually not that far from here too as well.
Okay.
So you can get done. All right, no. Okay, what are we going to talk about? We've had a lot of interesting shows lately. We had great conversations with amazing guests that you invited mm-hmm. onto the show. And I'm always blown away by what they have to say and how they have looked through what they've gone through. I like that they're openly sharing everything, which is great. And then we want to kind of just wrap them up. And we'll start off with the Rick show that we did, where it was interesting. It was very, very interesting how it almost sounded like a light switch. Like he changed as a result of looking at things differently. And I do love his idea of the best investment that you could actually put any value into is yourself and self-esteem.
Yes, because he had an investor background.
Yes.
So if you're going to, I believe that the greatest masterpiece that we will ever create is the masterpiece of ourselves. But yet people don't invest enough time in creating.
Because we're too busy.
Themselves as, so can you imagine if you invested as much time as you do in your business and all these other things in yourself? When we do that, it then emanates, that greatness emanates into everything that we do. So we show up differently in our relationships and those get better. We show up differently at work. So if we're managers or leaders in our work, then we show up differently that impacts people in a different way. Like we become more powerful individuals when we work on ourselves to create this as the greatest masterpiece. And then everything else follows suit. So it makes sense that instead of investing more time in outside things, that we invest the most time in, and that means like us taking courses to upgrade ourselves, us taking classes, us taking workshops, us reading books, us listening to podcasts, us surrounding ourselves with the right people. So all of these steps that we take that are investments into who we are then pays off in dividends, which is what Rick was saying, that he's making way more money. His relationship now is like the best he's
things
ever
are
had.
Just lining up.
It does. But instead, we invest more time in outside things rather than where it should be, which is within us, creating us as the best version.
Do you think women or men
invest more than in themselves?
It's hard for me to say. I think
women do more than men do.
I think that moms don't do that enough because we're, again, conditioned to put others before us always, and we're last. So I don't know if that's necessarily true. Maybe it's just single people have more time to invest in themselves.
But would it be the women or the men?
It could also be men that are like investing in themselves to like, again, take the courses, do the education.
The men I don't think they are, because I think their perspective of investing in themselves is investing in what they're responsible for, whether that's the work, the family, themselves are last. But I think women are better multitaskers at, they can handle all of them. They'll be able to invest in the family, their work, and themselves at the same amount of time. Men will invest in two of those and sacrifice the third one, which is themselves. I could be wrong. I don't know.
I think it's at like different stages in our life where that fluctuates, right? To say that when I was at home with my kids when they were young and they depend on you for everything, that you were lucky if you were out of your pajamas and brushed your teeth for the day. So, and that builds up over time. You end up like really feeling bad because there isn't any time left for you because you're managing all these different things. But as my children got older, then they're at school all day, then it gives you a little more time to be able to again invest in yourself. So I think that it changes in the different decades that we're in for all groups, I think.
He was right to talk about how I think a lot of people in today's society don't give enough value to themselves. They don't consider themselves worthy enough to accomplish, whether it's to be the best son, the best husband, the best friend. They don't give themselves enough credit.
Manny, think about some of the belief systems that were handed down to you that had you thinking certain things. So I'll share for me, because as I've shared on the show, that at the lowest point of my life, that the belief system, the negative self-talk that was in my head was always sabotaging, always criticizing, always negative, always belittling, degrading, always. So it was like I was never pretty enough, never skinny enough, never athletic enough, never smart enough. It was always that. And that was because different things were said to me over the course of my life from well-meaning people. So like family, friends, educators, religious leaders that said that to me. Oh, yeah. I remember like it was grade 7 or 8 or something, and someone asked me how I did on a test, and I said I got an A, and they were like, really? You? And I'm like, oh my God, like how do people see me? Or there, and then there was in grade 9 where I had answered a question very innocently out loud, and then people laughed. And then one of the students came up to me and said, like basically questioned what I asked, which I didn't even understand why they were laughing. And so, but it was like, it was interpreted as a very dumb comment. So then I learned from that experience, because I felt very small after that, was, okay, Teresa, I think you better not just raise your hand as soon as you have an idea. You need to like reflect on what you're thinking before you raise your hand and you speak out loud. So there were like those different little traumatic events that happen to us that have us just retracting always a little bit more, a little bit more, where we feel less and less safe to be ourselves. And I think about the things that like my parents said to me, where I was always too loud. I was way too outspoken, way too energetic. And I was either hit for that, yelled at for that, grounded, lots of different things that constantly made me smaller and smaller and smaller. That made me become more quiet, more introverted, because all those times that like I was my true self, I got reprimanded for it. So teachers, the same thing, said different things. And so it's all of these adults and even kids that say things to you that create belief systems, that if you said I'm fat and that person says I'm fat, and our family friend, he told me if I don't stop eating that, I'm going to be fat. So it's like, well, if I've got this many people telling me I'm fat, I must be fat. So this is what it gets it started. So as we get older, the external voices of adults become the internal voices of kids. And that stuff becomes what we tell ourselves on repeat. That is the belief systems that then end up being like how we show up in the world, and which is what Rick was saying. So I know what was said to me that caused me to become the person that I was, and that now I'm rewriting that story for myself. That when those narratives start to play, that little voice that Rick said, you know, pops up that says, you're not worthy of that. You don't have anything to, of value to share. That when that little voice comes up and says something to me that I have to say, stop, that's a lie. And I have to correct it with the truth, which is, you know, when it says, Teresa, you're not skinny enough, you shouldn't eat that. And I'm like, no, there's nothing wrong with me eating that. Like, I have to actually like speak to the voice and tell it that, you know, that's just bullshit lies. All of the stuff that that little voice goes and says that I can't do the things that I want to do, that's on my heart to do, that keeps me playing small. And but everybody keeps me limited. This,
right? Everybody has those childhood memories kind of thing where, and then you grow. It's like how he said and how you've said several times is that the moment we stop being a child and we start being an adult based on what our circle is telling us we should be like.
Do you have any things that were like said to you that you feel ended up being like limiting statements for yourself?
Not really, because I've always been a creative individual and I've never let anybody tell me if the creativity was good or bad. It stopped me from completing the creativity. I still always completed the creativity. So it didn't matter, but I was a very introverted kid. I was a very quiet kid. I was always in the back of the classroom. I was always trying to look smaller in the classroom so then I wouldn't be asked a question. Like, I just didn't want to be a part of, go figure, I'm on a podcast now, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you're way out there now. And I never really had, other than my old man teaching me with the palm of his hand, you know, life's lessons, whether how to do certain things, which didn't scar me. It just, that's how the old school way of teaching somebody was. It was fine with me, right? I don't look back on it and going, he was a bad father. No, I didn't look at that, right? Siblings wise, I never really, both my brothers played sports. I never did, right? So I never did what the rest of the siblings did. I always did whatever I wanted to do. And that's why I wear it with pride, where my dad started getting to the point where you're stubborn as a bull. And I took it as a compliment. I totally took it as a compliment. Every time he would call me that, I was like, it's in my head. I wouldn't defend it. I wouldn't tell him, you know, why are you saying that as if it's a negative? In my head, I was thinking that's a positive because I started thinking, okay, what exactly does a bull do? Like, a bull still rushes forward and still gets shit done. And if there's something in the way, it goes past that. So that's why I complete what I say I'm going to complete. So it didn't, if anything, it drove me to complete, to do things. So being reminded that you're stubborn as a bull, or being reminded that you're a creative individual, like, it's just. But then you speak to adults and they think of it as too many risks. Right. But the risks, if you're a creative individual and you take risks, one will eventually pay off. But if you don't take any risks, then none will ever pay off. That's just a reality of creativity. But the majority of people are not creative, but they are. But they just don't take the risk to be creative. They rather have the security overshadow the creativity. I've never been that individual.
So that's lucky that you didn't let those type of comments change who you were, but
I'm letting some of them now as an adult because things have changed, right? So you start to question, maybe they were right and you were always wrong.
I think your inner guidance would tell you if that's true or not, because our emotional system tells us if what we're thinking, if it's right or wrong. So when I start thinking something that is the opposite of what my inner being or the my spiritual self would, which always believes that I'm magnificent, extraordinary, unique, special, all the good feeling adjectives, that's the truth of who I am. And if as soon as I start to deviate with that and I'm like, no, I can't do that, or I suck, or I'm a loser, or I'm right away, that doesn't make me feel good. And those feelings are a way of me saying, oh, I'm not in alignment with the truth of who I am, because the truth of who I am tells me that I'm amazing. And so I'm like, okay, Teresa, I'm not thinking of myself the way that I need to. So when we start to get down on ourselves for whatever, like for our past mistakes, regrets, right? I'm a shitty dad. I'm a terrible husband. I'm the worst. Like, because even maybe our parents said things to us growing up that, you know, you were the worst son and all this stuff, that when we start to get down on ourselves, that those are the thoughts that start to like creep up and make us feel bad, that those are opportunities for us to look at the past and to probably move into some of that like healing work that we've talked about on the show as well, because we shouldn't be letting the past dictate who we are today. And if it's holding us back and limiting ourselves and not allowing us to like have the self-esteem that, like, let's say that Rick was talking about, we're living a very limited life because of that. And I know it's hard to look at the skeletons in the closet or what we've shoved under the rug, right? But to really live the life that we came here to live, we have to look at some of those like little events, those traumatic things that happened to us as kids, as young adults, whatever, that had us believing things about ourselves that aren't true. Instead of us being our greatest cheerleader, as it was for me, even now it's hard for me to be my greatest cheerleader. And we're often looking for outside people to be our cheerleaders. They're never going to be. We're lucky if we find somebody who's our greatest cheerleader.
That's why I was asking Rick about the placeholder. I see it. Listen, when I was younger, I saw lots of my friends. I would date certain people just as placeholders. And I was just, in the beginning, I would be vocal about it. They didn't like it. But I was just like, this is just being filled the void. That's all it is, right? And this is never going to be long-term or whatever. So it just, that's what I was curious about. I asked him about that because I think a majority of people today, like you said, off mic, we were talking about what are people really doing? I think there's a fear in a lot of men. And I think there's a lot of independence in a lot of women. And then I think everybody's trying to find someone that's going to contribute to a better life for you. You know what I mean by that? Like, we want to date up. Everybody wants to date up. So I want to find somebody that's going to make me a better person. But no, you have to be the better person to attract that person.
Yes.
But everybody, I think today, wants to date somebody that wants to be better. And I'm like, that doesn't work.
No, they're not going to be attracted to you until
it'll be short term. Yeah. It'll be short term. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I think more and more people, mostly men, need to just focus on what their value is, increase their self-esteem, like he said, mm-hmm. you know, their net worth, so to speak. That has nothing to do with whatever assets you have or what you're driving or what you're wearing or where you live in. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with what you are, who you are as an individual. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that if you see an individual and they are not standing perfectly proud and smiling at complete strangers, then there's got to be something going on with this individual. You should be, just doesn't matter. Like, smile and be happy and be nice to people that have nothing. They can't contribute to you being better if you are nice and smiling to that person. Just do that for the sake of being a nice person, nice human being. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Being
regardless,
helpful. Regardless. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But I think like a lot of men are probably having a hard time trying to find that significant other, right? Like, we did a show not too long ago about robots and stuff, and they're predicting 20% of men will be dating a robot.
Wow.
Within the next 10 years. They'll have a companion at home.
Yeah.
That's a robot. That's a growing market right now. So you got to wonder, why are these men doing or considering doing that? Why is this segment growing that?
Uh-huh.
Pretty scary, in my opinion. 2030. Yeah, you said it was 2030. By 2030, 20% of the population of men in one country, Asian country, was going to be, they would have a robotic companion.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot.
That's, but that's going to be just, I think, destroying their self-esteem. I don't think it's going to make them a better person.
I guess we're going to have to cross that bridge when we get there. If relationships, we've talked about this too, are transactional in the sense that they're just meeting like a need. So a robot could meet physical needs in different ways. Maybe also intellectual needs in the sense that it's
conversational.
Yeah, right. You have like you do with your AI, you know, on your phone now, you ChatGPT.
Yeah, you
have
a
conversation, right?
Yeah.
I think the danger in the sense that a robot isn't going to give you an emotional exchange because they're not capable of that. But the danger for that is though, because we have that capability, that oftentimes the mental then contributes to the emotional. What you're thinking about, if you think happy things, then you feel happy. If you think, you know, to the negative and you're pessimistic, then you often don't feel happy as a result of those thoughts. So we might build emotional connections to robots, although it'll never be reciprocated, right?
It will be, but it won't be authentic.
Yeah.
It will just be a program. It's just an on-off switch saying, yeah, okay, so this robot will do this every so often whenever it reads you as this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not how it works.
And so that's what you're going to have to decide for yourself, whether you want that authentic emotional, you know, connection back. That's the only thing I can think of, you know, right now.
It's going to be an interesting future for everybody right now trying to make themselves better, first for themselves and then for attracting a partner in their life, when you're going to start competing with so-called perfect partners for you, your life. But they're empty. They're perfectly empty partners. That's what they are.
Mm-hmm. They're substitutes or placeholders, like you said. Yeah, it's... We're in an interesting time for sure. There's a lot of,
but I do like a lot up. That he was talking about how it's really simple about, you know, where do you invest? And everybody has this. I'm sure men and women, mostly men, have these conversations about, okay, where do you put your money? Like, where do you put this? Mm-hmm. Where do you try that? Or you just have conversations, but nobody ever talks about yourself, the self-esteem, and you as an individual. Mm-hmm. Where can you?
Yeah.
Add more value to your life. What can you do to be a better human being? And that's what he talked a lot about, which was, I think, valuable. And then in turn, the person that he said he will never marry ended up marrying. They got married. So obviously that she saw and he became, and they just said, this makes a lot of sense. So he's got a much better relationship with the idea of marriage, much better relationship with his kids. Everything's better. Business is better. And like you've said several times on shows, it just attracts.
Yes,
it just attracts opportunities in your life. But it has to start with when you wake up in the morning, if you're going to do that. So if he's waking up in the morning and he's talking about, how can I increase the value of my self-esteem, my self-worth? What can I do today to do that? That will just attract something. Same way that Caitlin wakes up in the morning, dances, and she starts the day with a dance, particular song. She's got two things like that. That's going to change how she's going to walk into her morning coffee shop and make that order of that first drink. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to just be like, I want to be around that person. That person just seems like that kind of happiness that I want to be around. Mm-hmm. How come I can't find that happiness, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you feel like you have some challenges around that, then I suggest reaching out to a coach like myself, for example, or a therapist or counselor, or someone that you can open up and talk to. Because often when we're in a dark place, as Sarah, that was another one of our guests who was in a depression. And when you're only hearing that inner dialogue that's either like shitting on yourself all day long, which was like very much how mine was. It was shitting on me always.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all you hear is the internal dialogue about like how awful your life is and how awful you feel about yourself. To get out of that cycle, it's important to talk to someone. And now it's become like so much part of my message about finding that somebody that you can talk to. And if you don't think that you have someone safe in your circle to be able to, that who's going to get you. Often people in our circle, that as soon as we open up to somebody and say, oh, I'm struggling with this, they'll say to you, oh yeah, you think that's bad? Listen to this. And they're like trying to one-up you on like, oh yeah, you think that's bad, dude? What about this? And it's like, okay, I'm not getting like the help and support that I need here. So, you know, that's why, again, like reaching out for someone that you can, that you feel safe to be able to open up is important, so that you can move past some of the things that are keeping you stuck.
And they'll be able to see, they'll be able to see things that you are probably not able to see. Mm-hmm. And then you need to just be, someone needs to tell you, consider this, right? Mm-hmm. No different than Rick. He was like, I'm not going to try this out. Forget this 3-day course thing, whatever.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
But and then he's walking out ready to propose.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So
yeah.
So what exactly happened? Like, yes. You know, maybe it takes a third party coming in and saying, why don't you consider this?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's worth it. Yeah, wow. a weekend course or a different book or a podcast like ours, for example, could be, you know, just that little bit of information that, you know, edges you a little bit closer to making, deciding to make those changes.
Yeah, I think I'll stay away from the 3-day course. I don't want to walk out there to get married, right? That's just me. Okay. Anything else you want to share on that one?
No, it's good.
No, that was very good. Okay. Thanks so much,
Teresa.
Thanks.
Thanks, Manny.
We're out of here. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Manny. Oh, another great episode of Building Joy.
Yeah, that's all. Simple as that. I'm telling you, I like having messages from tradespeople enjoying listening to these shows, because I think there's a lot of value in these shows, mm-hmm. because I think a lot of tradespeople, specifically men, are stuck in their ways and they're missing out on what is really going on in their lives.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of happiness going on in their lives. They just don't see it.
Yes. And how do we step further into our happiness when we wake up feeling every morning like we don't want to go to work, that the day is going to be crappy, that we have like this lined up and this line, my employees aren't going to show up, or they're going to like make a shit ton of mistakes, or they're like, right? And that you end up thinking, oh no, that today is going to be a repeat of yesterday, and yesterday was no good. So how do you break that cycle of being able to wake up and be excited for the day, and probably be like me excited for the day, but it is actually possible.
I think you figure out how not to repeat what you constantly do every single morning.
And it's a choice. Yeah. It is a choice for how you want to show up that day. It is completely on you, that you are creating your reality, in the sense that even if things are going to unfold in ways that are not preferable for you, how do you control your response to it so that you're preserving your peace, you're preserving your happiness? And I see that with my husband. Now that their business is almost 50 years old. They do heating and air conditioning. And they're like, yesterday, the same thing. It's like stuff happens with his employees that like piss him off and make him angry. But he's able to let it go now. That it's like he's realizing that he can't affect change in other people.
It
right?
happens.
That,
yes. So how I react to it is what's going to be more
and
important.
Yes. And I find that he is able to let it go. Whereas when he was younger, it would just like frustrate the heck out of him, make him angry for days, you know, in the areas that they were losing money because the employees were taking too long or whatever, right? You know, they priced a job with a certain quote, and now it's like, oh no, all this other stuff has happened. And so it used to anger him for a lot longer, and he used to show up at the end of the day like frustrated and just like not wanting to talk and just angry. And but now I'm like, oh, sometimes I wouldn't even know that he faced something annoying at work that day, because he's leaving it at the door too when he comes home.
But don't we, when we get angry at something and react that way, we block ourselves from figuring out how to understand it positively? Like what I'm getting at is like, you come up with a solution. Okay, fine. So this happened. They made a mistake. They damaged something. Whatever. It's going to
kind of mess up the day a little bit. But if you're just contributing to that and not figuring out, okay, so that happened, what are the solutions on the table now to mm-hmm. figure this out? What can I do? What can we do? How can we handle this? Then you can figure out, you're solution driven now. You're figuring out, trying to solve it. Then guess what? You'll solve it in a day. Then you end your day by going, you know what? We had a problem. We had a solution. We completed it. Got home. Mm-hmm. Happy. Mm-hmm. Done.
It is. It's always about the learning that you can take away from that, right? To say, what could I have put into place so that that didn't happen? And now that it did, again, what solutions could I put into mm-hmm. place to avoid that from happening? But I think you also have to check in with yourself and saying, how willing are you to let this situation sabotage your happiness? So let's say maybe you were having a kind of a good day and now this situation happened. Are you going to let it pull you away to the extent that now you're like miserable again? Or are you going to say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do in order to preserve my peace, preserve my happiness? Or if you are being pulled away, that's where your happiness toolkit comes in to play. So your happiness toolkit has those things that you turn to bring you back to the happiness that you are, because the happiness is not going to come from outside. It comes from inside of you. It's always inside of you. But you, and which all of us, me every single day, the world pulls us away because for different things. Today there was the weather. Today it was the traffic. Today it was like people's comments.
There's always something.
Always. And so I make a choice to say, what can I do to preserve my peace? So if I have to be, this is a change that I've made in the last year. In the last year that I'm noticing, and I think I was saying it to my husband last night, that I said, I'm noticing that I used to be this person that used to show up usually a little late, actually, on time or a little late. And I'd be going through traffic like a mad woman because I'd leave too late, right? And now I'm like, you know, road rage to try to get to like where I need to be. And getting there, huffing and puffing, and then, you know, oh, making excuses for why I was late. And I was fine with that. I was like, whatever, I'm making that choice. You know, you want to be there early, good for you. Now that I'm getting older and I'm becoming more aware of like sensations that come up in the body, I realize that I'm like, I don't need to do that to myself. I don't need to like get all upset and hot and angry, so weaving through traffic and pissed off that people are going too slow and because I have to get there on time. And I'm like, no, if I leave earlier, it doesn't matter if the traffic's a little backed up, or and then I'm like able now to find a parking spot right near the front door, and I can go in and take my time and use the washroom and chill a little on my phone if I need to. And I'm like, oh my God, this feels so much better. And so this is what it is. It's like tuning in to like to those things that you know help you to stay calm and relaxed, and putting structures into place so that you could preserve that. Because when we wake up in the morning, after we've had a really, like, hopefully a good night's rest, we wake up at peace. But as soon as we get up to like, we'll shift into like maybe who we've always been.
But what are you really late for? Like, I don't understand.
Oh,
like,
whatever.
Are you supposed to be exactly on that time?
Of course. Just, well, as a teacher, right? Of course.
Oh, okay. That's different.
A lot of people have like a start time to their day, and I'd be there right on time in those cases instead of being there a little earlier. Because I was like, well, if I be there earlier, that's a waste of time. And now I realize I'm like, oh no, it's not a waste of time at all, because I feel so ready that I have even a moment to like prepare myself before like the meeting's going to start, or, you know, my work with students that I do around technology, that I have a moment to just like, you know, take a look at my notes, and I'm just more prepared. All things that I couldn't do before when I was late. And I just, again, it's about tuning in. So this is what I wanted to talk to you about on this episode, is about tuning into our emotions and asking ourselves, do we like what we're feeling, right? Because if you're feeling angry and frustrated and stressed and anxious and overwhelmed, those are all feelings that are telling you you're out of alignment.
Yeah.
With the truth of who you are, which is love, peace, and happiness, that as children, They are always loving, at peace, and happy. They are the examples, and our pets too, the same thing. Our pets are the example of who we were as children, of like who our original self was, who we were. And now as we get older, again, the world is always pulling us away. So when we wake up in the morning, what action can you take to preserve your peace? And I've realized that if I wake up a little bit earlier, I have more control over my day, and I'm not right away put into like all of this stress and whatnot.
I was actually going to bring up, because I know that you bring up the our happiness toolbox. You should actually start doing a little toolbox and giving it to all the tradespeople, and then they could put whatever they want inside there. So then when they're having a crappy moment on the job site, they lift it up and find whatever. Whether that's like, I don't know, you can fill it out in yourself, whatever. It could be anything you want. If it's like Lego bricks or something like that, whatever. Like little things that will just put a smile on your face, and or even your kids can actually put stuff in there. So then it's for mom and dad's happiness toolkit box.
Yeah, and it is. It's individual for each of us, right? So on like on
Nobody
one of
needs
our
to
shows,
it. You need to understand.
Yes, that's it.
That
on one of our shows, you know, Caitlin expressed that right off the bat she'll dance in the morning because she realizes that that sets her day on the right foot, right? So it's personal to us. What are those things that when we do them, whether it's walking our dog, listening to particular songs on our phone, for me, having that cup of coffee first thing in the morning is like one of like my, it is one of my daily greatest joys, my coffee in the morning. But I go to sleep, I can't wait to have that first cup. And then I'll have some water with lemon and everything first. And then I'll make my coffee and I'm just like, oh, and I'm savoring every sip of it. So I won't have my coffee distracted with things so that I can savor, because that first cup is, it's different than any subsequent cups later. And so it is, it's like tuning in. What are those things that when, and it's probably our show, right? For some people, it's our show. Listening to this is that reset, right? That also when we feel ourselves being pulled away, so now we're stuck in traffic and we're going to be late, you know, to get somewhere. What can you control inside of your car that brings you back to your peace? And I'll find that, oh no, I'm starting to like, oh no, look what time it is. And I'm like, oh, Teresa, stop. You know, what songs can you listen to? What podcast can I listen to? What audio book can I turn on? What video, like whatever it is. It's like, what can I do?
Scenic view, roadway that you can go on, whatever. Yeah. As much as it's all snow today, I still get a kick out of snowing and snowing aftermath. I still get a kick out of it. Like snow stuck to tree branches, snow stuck on the sides.
I know.
I still get a kick out of it, right?
Yeah, I had to remind myself that there is beauty in that, because our mind, again, we have an 80% negative bias. So our brain will automatically go to the negative. First. And it's because it's technically part of our survival mechanism, in the sense that we are designed to look to the negative because we want to avoid that, right? So last time when you went down that road, oh no, it like wasted a ton of time and your truck got all dirty, and so you don't want to do that. And oh no, you don't want to talk to that person because last time, So it's like, it's designed to spare us future pain, let's say. But in the meantime, it's causing pain every single
present
day, right? By focusing on the negative. So you literally have to practice and train your brain to look to the positive. You actually have to do that. And the more that you train it, and we know through the science of neuroplasticity that we can train our brain by creating new neural pathways with the thoughts and beliefs that serve us instead. But you have to, like, when your brain wants to go there, you have to say stop. And oh, wow, look at the snow on the branches. Wow, that looks so beautiful. And
when we got here early in the morning, not you and me, but somebody else, nobody was here. We saw a parking lot. It wasn't cleared on the backside. So what did two grown men do? We went and did donuts.
Was that super fun?
Yes. Like, there's no danger. Wow. We're just sliding, slipping around, and just looping around. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. That's what I'm saying. So you're stuck in traffic. There's snow. You can look at it like, oh, there's snow. There's traffic and there's cars and ditches and all this. No, there's a parking lot there and we can do donuts.
Wow. Yeah.
And now start, anybody who's listening, when was the last time you actually did donuts?
Uh-huh. No.
So get in your pickup truck and go do donuts in a safe parking lot that hasn't been cleared yet, right?
Oh, thank you for that, because my husband used to do that all the time. So when we were dating, he only ever owned a pickup truck. And so I'd be behind him.
The best vehicle to do donuts, by the way.
And he'd be doing this always, like, and I'd see that. And I'm like, oh my God, that looks so... No, he was just having a whole bunch of fun, yeah. Which, yeah, he doesn't do as much anymore. And maybe just you get older and you forget, or maybe it's belief systems that only, you know, that's childish, that's immature.
I think if
but
I was
fun.
On a, I was on a, if I'm on a, if I was on a job site on a, my particular job site, I think I probably would tip the porta potty. On somebody.
I'm dying.
Just because I haven't done that in forever. We used to do that as kids in our teenage years and early 20s. We used to do that all the time, right? And nobody does it. And I'm encouraging anybody who's listening to tip the porta potty. Hopefully there's somebody in there, right?
Because the rational mind tells you you're too old for that.
I know, but that's right? When you should be doing it.
But the emotional self says, well, that actually would be really funny and super fun. But the rational mind goes and says, no, right? So that's why tuning into the into your emotional self for both parts, the parts that bring you joy because it's making you laugh. Yeah. It's making you like feel better. It's raising your spirits. That those are the things you need to do more of. And when we don't feel happiness, because happiness is a compass. When we feel happy, we're on path, living the life that we came here to live. When we're not feeling happy, it's because we're off path. Yeah. And we need to think about, how do I bring myself back on path when I don't feel like that? And you can choose. You can live days on end feeling miserable and cranky about your life, or you can choose in any moment to make changes and to decide to show up differently today. And it's 1%. 1% better every single day. Imagine at the end of the year how all of that percent shows up. And 1% is easy to say, you know what, I'm not going to choose the donut today. I'm not going to choose, you know, 3 double doubles. I'm not going to choose the pop today. I'm not going to choose the extra glass of wine today. It's like just a small little choice, but all of those choices add up to a completely new you at the end of the year.
But look what you said about how you were singing out loud with the headset on.
Yeah.
And your daughter came along and hugged you. And then you guys had that moment. And that's like, I look at it like, if you weren't singing out loud and you weren't being happy at that moment, that's one less hug that you would have gotten from your daughter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if you see the parking lot, if you see the opportunity to put a smile on your face, don't hurt anybody, but put a smile on your face, then take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just take it.
And can you imagine if you took more of those all day long? That the trick to really, this is the secret, is to choose your greatest excitement in every moment. So what that means is that you have a choice in every moment to do whatever. So let's say you're hungry and you have a choice as to what you're going to eat. When you look on a menu, you're going to choose your greatest excitement by choosing the food that you think is going to make you feel the most happy.
That's true. Yeah.
And so in every moment we have choices. And if we think, which choice is going to make me feel, and we get these moments of inspiration. So when you saw this parking lot, it would not have occurred to me.
It's my first thought.
But and you see, so that thought, let's say that moment of inspiration or that download, really it's your inner being saying, Manny, look at this parking lot full of snow. And you could have squashed that and chosen to not do it. But the thought was, that would be fun. And you decided to go with it. So, and you had a choice. The choice was either not to do it, or the choice was like, well, hell yeah, I'm going to do it. So how about if all day long we had different choices to make and we just chose the one that was a little more happy than the other one? Just doesn't matter. What is the better of the two choices? And if you keep choosing the better of all day long, your life, like just that day, ends up being that much better. But imagine doing that every day. Then it's It's creating a whole life where you're constantly choosing joy. And you're choosing joy because you're listening to it that is stemming from inside you, which is what I call like following your bliss. It's not finding joy, because finding or searching for joy outside of you is expecting the outside circumstances to show you. No. Your inner being, as you did when you listened to that call for fun, is guiding you to the better choice all day long. And your emotions tell you.
But we're supposed to be grown-ups and supposed to be maturing. See? And I disagree. I think you're supposed to be reversing right back to being a child. So the more childish you can be, the better, without hurting anybody. But I mean, like, why not do those things?
Yeah.
Because it will change how your day happens.
Yeah. I
agree.
It.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I love it.
So now people are going to blame me for tipping toilets, right? Okay, we got the, you can't blame me for anything. I'm making suggestions. That's all I'm doing, right? If I do see a porta potty, I might tip it myself. It doesn't matter. Or if I'm in it, then you can tip it and I won't be upset. I'll come out laughing. Simple as that. Okay, Teresa, we got to wrap this up. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're out of here. Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at Teresa Greco _ Steps to Happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.